Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. In Psalm 75, turn there please. Starting in verse 8, the Word of God says, "For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and He poureth out the same, but the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup." Picture this in your mind. God is on the throne, and He's holding a cup. There's something in that cup. This is a real picture. This is not an allegory. This is real. God has a cup in His hand, and there is something in that cup. And the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and He poureth out the same. Now, when the Bible talks about wine in contexts like this, it is not talking about alcohol. It's talking about the same type of wine as was brought out in Genesis 40 and verse 11. "And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand." See, when you read wine in the Bible like that, you're not talking about wine the way people think of wine today. In Exodus, Israel was to have no fermentation. That was not just for the holidays. That was not just for the sacred days. That was in their life. There was to be no fermentation. We are believer priests, but the Levites were not permitted anything fermented. We are the Levites of God in the modern age. We are not permitted anything fermented. They drank fruit juice, and they would take the grape and they would squeeze it into their cup. And that's where they would get their wine. It was actually grape juice. Pharaoh there is a picture in this application of God. "And I took the grapes and I pressed them into Pharaoh's cup. And I gave the cup into the hand of Pharaoh. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red." Now, what is that talking about? Well, what are grapes? Grapes are the fruit, right? Doesn't John 15:5 say, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, and without me you can do nothing." So the grapes are the fruit of the vine. He is the vine, we are the fruit of that vine. But the fruit of that vine is not useful until it becomes wine in the cup. Do you understand what I'm saying? Our lives, we are grapes. And God will squeeze us. And when God squeezes us, the fruit of the fruit, if you will come out. The wine there is a picture of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inside of us comes out when we are squeezed. God always has a place for us in our lives where He will squeeze us. If God does not squeeze us, the Holy Spirit will never come out. We are the grapes. And as long as we are abiding in the vine, as long as we are abiding in that place and that calling that Christ has called us into, then we will have the life of God in us, so that when the grape is squeezed, wine comes out. If I stop as a believer abiding in the vine, abiding in Christ, abiding in the calling wherein I have been called, then the grape will be squeezed, but nothing will come out. It will be a dry grape. It will be a raisin. Shriveled. Perhaps it is sweet, but there is nothing in it. It will not sustain you. It is shriveled. I have to abide in the vine. And when I am squeezed, because I will be squeezed, I will guarantee you, the Bible has said that every believer has in their life tribulation. Every believer has in their life tribulation. Let me repeat that. Every believer is called by God, and He has promised this. Every single born-again believer will have in their life tribulation. That tribulation is there for the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming out. The treasure that is inside of a man can only come out in the dark times to be seen. You see, if you light a candle in the daylight, the candle doesn't do a whole lot. If you light a candle in the dark, the candle will overcome the dark and it will light up the room that it's in. The believer will go through periods of tribulation, of trials and testings, because God will make the Holy Spirit come out. But the believer must abide in the vine. If the believer refuses to abide in the vine, then whatever tribulation that believer is in is a meaningless tribulation, because the Holy Spirit will not come out. There is no eternal value when I do not abide in the vine. And then my tribulation becomes a curse to me. All I do is become a flat raisin. It's imperative that we abide in the vine. How do I abide in the vine? I abide by reading God's Word. I abide by going to the church where I am called, by being faithful to the local assembly. I abide by being faithful to the body of Christ in the assembly in which I have been called. I abide in God. I abide in the calling in 1 Corinthians 7 in which I have been called. Because if I run out of that calling, then the vine is no longer connected to the fruit in a practical sense. Positionally, I can never be disconnected. But in the practical experience, the practical details of my life, there is no connection if I do not abide. And then I dry up and I shrivel up. This is why it's so important for people to consistently be built up in the Word of God. Because it's a part of abiding. This is why faithfulness is such an important aspect of the believer's life. It's a part of abiding. And God will send the tribulation. And when God sends the tribulation, He squeezes me. And when He squeezes me, the Holy Spirit can come out, because there is something within the fruit. There is life in the fruit. There is life in the fruit. The ancient Israelites depended on grapes being squeezed to survive. We depend on God squeezing us in order to survive. Why? Well, it says in the B part of the verse, but the dregs thereof, that sedimentation that is at the bottom of the cup, the part of the grape that was not nutritious, and the part of the grape that was not watery, the part of the grape that was not the Word of God in that person's life, the part of the grape that is not the Holy Spirit providing life into the person's life, the dregs come out, the sedimentation from the bottom. All the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. This is a picture of the flesh, of the old sin nature, of natural thinking, of walking by sight, of natural reasoning. The wicked of the earth will drink them. They will take those things unto themselves, and they will consume those things. They will leave the wine and they will consume the dregs. And God is squeezing us so we will consume the wine and leave the dregs. It is imperative that I abide in the vine. It is imperative. By the way, no Spirit-filled believer is given options. My option is the will of God. If I have options, it is only because God is not on my throne, my flesh is. And I'm trying to thinking natural reasoning by sight, comparing one thing to another and trying to decide which one will work for me. A believer that is in that place is a believer who is void of operating in the Holy Spirit. Saved? Yes. Going to heaven when they die? Yes. Possessed by God? Yes. But in a practical, functional, experiential reality, they don't know what it means to function in the Holy Spirit. That believer needs to stop, stand still, and start receiving from the Word of God in humility and meekness before God. Because if they don't, they will suffer permanent loss at the Bema Seat. Yes, they are a believer. Yes, they are saved. But they will have no assurance or peace in their heart because there is no function of the Holy Spirit going on in the communion of their spirit with whatever it is communing with. As a believer, I let God squeeze. Oh, it doesn't feel very good sometimes. But you know what? We have to be careful about, as believers, how it feels is completely a meaningless consideration. God did not call me to feelings. God did not call me to feelings. God didn't necessarily call me to peace. God only called me to that peace which comes from the Word of God in me. If I don't have Word of God in me, God called me to not have peace. Why? So that I would get the Word of God. These people who follow their peace, who follow their feelings, are actually taking themselves right out of God's perfect will. I can't do that as a believer. No. God gives peace that passes understanding. But it will come when the grape is squeezed. Let me ask you something. If you have to have heart surgery, would you prefer a doctor who's never performed surgery, or would you prefer a doctor who's performed thousands of them? But some believers would prefer a doctor who never performed surgery. Why? They don't want to be squeezed. They don't want the Holy Spirit's work in their life. They want peace without understanding. They want the peace that the world affords that comes after I follow the world and I try to appease my emotions. But the problem with that, it is a fleeting peace. It's a peace that leads unto destruction of the soul. And it leaves the soul in a worse position than it was than before I ever left wherever I was supposed to be. No, I abide in the vine. And God can squeeze me. But when He squeezes me, something wonderful happens. The wine comes out. Yes, it is squeezing. Picture yourself as a grape. You are a grape. Okay, and now the squeeze is coming. The hand of God on your life starts to grasp a little bit and starts to close. And it may not feel very good. And that's usually how it works. It may not feel very good. Because I'm still, as a believer, very often, because I am a human being, very concerned with how it all feels. But something happens after a season. The wine starts to come out. The wine starts to come out. I don't consume dregs, I consume wine. I have to have the wine come out. If I do not stay abiding in the vine, then as soon as the squeezing starts, I run. If I run, then I've run from my provision, I've run from my call, I've run from my protection. I don't care how religious or how unreligious, I don't care how it feels or doesn't feel. If I run, I run from the one place where God is willing to give me a provision. God is not in a democracy and He doesn't ask my counsel. Right? Who has known, isn't that what the Bible says? Who has known the mind of the Lord that He should be His counselor? God is not in a democracy and He does not ask me for my counsel. God does not ask for my approval or even that I be okay with it. God's ways are higher than my ways. You know what He asked me for? My heart. He asked me for my heart. Not for my salvation. All I need to do for that is receive Him. But for a life with Him, He asks me for my heart. And if I have given God my heart, He can squeeze and the wine will come out. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 37, the Word of God says, they said unto Him, grant us that we may sit one on Thy right hand and the other on Thy left hand in Thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, you know not what you ask. Can you drink the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto Him, yes, we can. Yeah, we can do that, God. So you don't know what you're asking. We can do that. And Jesus said unto them, you shall indeed drink the cup that I drink of. And with the baptism that I am baptized withal, shall you be baptized. Do you want the riches that are in the dark places? There are believers who say, I want God's riches. And they are sincere in when they say it. And God says, okay, do you know what you are asking? Are you willing to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Are you willing? You see, if you want the riches in the dark places, you've got to get into the dark places. They are hidden there. They are not the riches of ease and comfort. They are not the riches of my preferences. They are the riches of dark places. If you don't want the dark places, God will not violate your free volition. He will not force you to stay in the dark places, but then you won't have the riches either. When the dark places come, fellowship with the thought and the knowledge that there are riches to be found there. When confusion comes into your life, realize that God is not the author of confusion. Then who is the author of confusion? If confusion comes into your life, it is not the confusion that is the problem. It is the fact that I have no mind of Christ that is the problem. So I need to get the mind of Christ for my circumstances. And so I open my Bible and I ask God to lead me and I start building myself up in the doctrines that pertain to those circumstances. Let's say that there is death or illness in the family. Then I start fellowshipping what God has to say about His heart toward those who are dying or those who are suffering. They that suffer with Christ will reign with Him. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. When Stephen died, the Savior stood. God Almighty stood from His throne for one man. That is the precious nature. When there is death, I fellowship with the fact that there is a resurrection. When there is a death, I fellowship with the fact that there is an eternal life. I do not fellowship with the suffering. I fellowship with the hope that God gives me through His Word and His promises. This is how the wine comes out when the grape is squeezed. I fellowship with those things that God has given me. I don't fellowship with my unbelief. I fellowship with His faithfulness. I don't fellowship with my trial. I fellowship with His promise and His reward. I fellowship with the fact that He says, "Draw nigh unto me and I will draw nigh unto you." I fellowship with the fact that He said, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know what the Laodicean mentality does? The Laodicean mentality says, "I am weary and heavy laden. By God, I'm going to go over to the beach. And I'm going to rest." There is one problem about doing that though. The beach does not mean rest. Run to the beach, you may drown in the riptide. Right? No. "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And learn of me." And this is how you come unto me. "And learn of me, for my yoke is easy." Right? He said, "I am meek and I am humble, and my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Do you think you have a heavy burden? When you're not fellowshipping, you're not coming unto Him. You're fellowshipping with your burden. But fellowship with Him and His promises and His Word toward you and the doctrine that He gives to you, and keep taking it in and taking it in and take... By the way, your solution to your problems is the Word of God. Your solution to your problems is doctrine. Right? Isn't that what they said to Moses? "Moses, there is poison..." Right? "The waters are troubled. There is poison in the water." And what did God do? See, okay, filter the water and get rid of the poison. No, He said, "Throw in a tree. Throw in the tree. Moses, there is poison. Throw in the tree. God, there is poison in my life. There is trouble and there is difficulty and there is circumstance and there is persecutions and there are people who are unkind or against me or attacking me. There are circumstances that are overwhelming for me and they are not necessarily anybody's doing. Illness or job situation or finance or whatever. Confusion, uncertainty, whatever." God says, "There is po-" Don't get... He doesn't say get rid of the poison. He says, "Throw in a tree." The prophet, "There is poison in the pot." He said, "Okay, let's dump the pot and start again." No, He said, "Don't worry about the poison. Throw meal into the pot," and the poison was gone. What is that? The Word of God. Doctrine. Throw doctrine in the pot and the poison is gone. What are your circumstances? Throw in the Word of God, throw in the cross, and your circumstances are meaningless. He didn't try to remove the poison. He healed it. He doesn't try to remove you out of your circumstances. He heals you within your circumstances and He causes you to grow, because the squeezing of the grape brings out the wine. You cannot run. It's like Pastor Vieira always says, you can't run from a bad kidney. But believers try to run from a bad kidney. The problem is not your kidney. The problem is that there is no healing. You run from your kidney and you're going to get a worse kidney. No, when I have a bad kidney, I need God to heal. When I have a circumstance in my life, I need God to heal. And He will. And He will heal. Why? Because He is a healing balm. Right? He is a healing balm. His Word is health to my bones. And so I get the Word of God and I pick up a cross in my life and my circumstances are gone, but they are no more harm, they are no more difficult, they are wine. They produce wine. You want to be a raisin, you can run all you like. But there will be no wine. What happens like that? There's a loss. There is a bema seat. That means that person is saved. These things have nothing to do with my salvation. They have to do with my experience. They have nothing to do with my position before God. They have to do with my experience. The testing comes and it produces wine. I get squeezed. You see, if I want to sit on His right hand, I have to drink a cup. If I don't want to drink the cup, I don't need to sit on His right hand. Oh, I'll be in heaven. I might not reign, but I'll be in heaven. God still loves me. God will still be faithful. God will still wait on me if I don't wait on Him. God will still be true to me. God will not leave me nor forsake me. But Jesus said, it's not for me to give you that. It's for my Father in heaven. Jesus will always be faithful to me because He died for me, and He will never condemn me because I'm cleansed in the blood. But I might not have any wine. If I refuse to be in a place where I have wine, then I will not have a flame. Right? Like the 10 virgins. They were virgins. This is not necessarily saying saved and unsaved. They were all 10 virgins. But some were Spirit-filled virgins. They had oil in the flask. And some were not Spirit-filled virgins. They had no oil in the flask. And when this day came, that the bridegroom came, some were rewarded and some were not. Some were left out of the reward, although all of them, He was a bridegroom to all of them. Humility is the key to hearing from God. Without humility, I'm simply just another raisin. In John 18, then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into thy sheath, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? I cannot, as a believer, use my natural provisions and my natural efforts and my natural abilities to keep myself from drinking His cup. I have to drink the cup. Do you understand this? The cup was meant for you. And the cup was meant for me. I have to drink the cup. Don't drink the cup. You have no practical, experiential life with God. Your position is perfect. You are accepted in the Beloved. But what good is your position here on earth if you have no experience? Your position will never change. But your experience may. In Matthew 26:27, and He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. Drink all of the cup. Drink all of the cup. Don't drink half of the cup. Drink all of the cup. As a believer, I cannot drink half the cup. I must drink all the cup. I can't say, okay, I've had enough. I'm done with your cup. I drink all the cup. The cup is in Psalm 31:15. see, in the hand of the King, of God, of the Lord, there is a cup. What is the cup? In Psalm 31:15, my times are in God's hand. My times are in God's hand. The cup is my times. The cup is both the good and the bad. The cup is both the trial and the abounding. The cup is both the testing and the promotion. Drink all of it. Drink all of it. Do not just drink the promotion and leave behind the testing. Do not think your life is only testing and never a promotion. Drink all of it. If it comes from God, receive it. And by the way, if it's happening, all things are from God. Receive it. Don't run from God's cup. Receive it. Those are your times. Those are the times that were foreordained before the foundation of the world. Those are your times. There will be times that are absolutely wonderful and there will be a blessing to you. And you'll have great joy. But we are human. And we have been called to times that are both wonderful and also difficult. Drink all of it. Why? Because in Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. The cup is how I am conformed to the image of His Son. Don't you realize when the grape is squeezed, the spirit comes out and the flesh is left at the bottom to be sifted out and thrown away. Don't eat that which the wicked eat. That which is sifted from the bottom, do not eat that. Do not consume that. Consume the wine. Because that's where the Holy Spirit is. And it comes because you've been squeezed by God. Your times have squeezed you. If you have no times of squeezing, you have no times of experiencing and revealing the Holy Spirit of God. Your times have squeezed you. Drink all your times. Why? Because you have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. How do you think God's going to conform you to the image of His Son? Didn't Jesus say, where I am right now, you cannot come, but you will follow? Right? Didn't He say that? You will follow? Where will you follow? Where was He going? He was going into times when He was squeezed. And He was going into times when He was killed. And He went to a cross and He lost His life, but that's not where He ended. That's where He began. Those believers, God bless them when they run, when the squeezing comes, they're running from the beginning. They're not running from the middle or the end. They're running from the beginning. And what is the beginning? It's the beginning of resurrection. The cross is the beginning of resurrection. The suffering was the beginning of the resurrection. This is how He entered into the resurrection. So He says, drink all of it so that you may enter into the fullness of resurrection life, into the life and the abundance and the fullness of the joy that God has in His presence. Drink all of it so you may experience what it means to have the fullness of God in your life. Drink all of it so that you may know what it means to have wine and not dregs. Drink all of it so you know what it means to abide in a calling wherein you have been called, so that you will know what it means to receive the riches in dark places. Drink all of it so that you will know what it means to reign with Christ. Do you think reigning with Christ is simply after you die? Reigning with Christ starts here and now, in the suffering. Why? Because in patience I possess my soul. So I first reign over my own soul. And if I have been faithful over a little, I will be faithful over much. And in eternity, I will reign over many souls. Drink ye all of it. Drink all of it. This is the wine. It conforms me to His image. The process with which the grape is squeezed is the confirmation into His image. What was the image of God? The image of God was the revelation of the Spirit of God, of His might and His power in a person's life. It raised him from the dead. It will raise you from the dead. You see, I can either live in experiential death or I can be raised from the dead. You see, I start out in the experiential death. That is the human condition of the fallen man. Those are the dregs. But the squeezing of the grape separates the wine and the dregs. And when it's separated, I have the life of God. You see in 1 Corinthians 11:26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come." I drink the cup and I show the Lord's death. What does that mean? I drink the cup and I experience the fullness of the cross till He comes. The fullness of the cross is the fulfillment of the resurrection. The fullness of the cross means there's no one left in the tomb. The fullness of the cross is He is risen and I am risen with Him. In Psalm 23:5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil and my cup runs over." The enemies, the trials, the burdens, the circumstances, the people who came against me, the lies, whatever the attacks, whatever it may be. God prepares a table before me. What is on the table? There is meat and there are cups. There is one cup that is mine. That's the cup I'm to drink. And the result is that my cup runs over. That means that the fullness of God's life in me is overflowing and the love of God is shed abroad. And finally, in Psalm 16:5, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and my cup." The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. Do you realize that the cup is also your inheritance? That which is in the cup is your inheritance. Don't put your cup down, don't run from drinking. That which is in the cup is your inheritance. And the Lord is the fullness of its portion. It came from Him. This is why He said, drink all of it. I have to drink all of it. Because then I receive my inheritance. It is not a difficult thing. It is a glorious thing. It is only difficult to my flesh and my emotions. But it's a glorious thing. Because the Spirit of God comes out. You see, the end of that verse is, "Thou maintainest my lot." When I drink that cup, I'm in a place where God will maintain me. If I put the cup down, I go to a place where He will not. What will He do? Will He forget me there? No. He will not forget me there. He'll bring me back. And He will work on me until I come back. I can say, I don't like Nineveh, God. I'd rather be in a boat in the middle of the ocean. I don't like Nineveh. But you know what? Jonah was a whole lot better off in Nineveh than he was in the boat. In the boat, he was not very well liked. In the boat, he was a source of problems. In the boat, he had no call, no plan, no provision. in the whale, he was in God's call. Oh, he had made a mistake, but God sent that whale. And when he got off the boat and into the whale, who would have thought it? He got off the boat and into the whale. And then he was in God's call again. Oh, he hadn't arrived in Nineveh yet, but he was on his way. Oh, he was still kicking and fussing and screaming. I wonder what his emotions were doing during all that time as he thought he was going to get away from the call. You know, why do you think he left his call? Because he thought he'd find something better on the boat. Well, you know what he found? He found a fish. He found God was not willing to let him go. He found that God wasn't concerned whether he wanted to go to Nineveh or not. He belonged to God because God had purchased him with a price. And so he brought him back into his call. Oh, the harder I run, the farther God has to bring me back, and he may have to call me a fish to do it. You thought you were going to call a cab, God calls you a fish. No. I abide in the vine when God turns the grape into wine. I abide in the vine. And it is that place of abiding that I find my life with God. It's my times. It's my times. I can't run for that which God had prepared for me from the foundation of the world. I can try. But if I do, all I do is experience some loss for a season. And then He brings me back. No. I drink all the cup. I drink all the cup. I may not like it. It may be bitter sometimes. It may be difficult sometimes. But God has a promise, and His promise is it will be wine. It will become spirit to me and life. Amen.